all of them have the capability of doing some form of overlay over video with high fidelity and low artifacting. All of them.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here as always with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by Mark Eisenstadt. We're welcoming him back to the podcast for the third time. He's going to talk about show control, studio product family versus our new live product family, and how they work together for live event productions. And welcome back, Mark, for the third time, I believe, on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys.
Yeah, we're
happy to be here.
We were talking before the recording here. We're trying to think of who has the leaderboard for the most appearances on the Daktronics Experience podcast, and you might be up there tied with Angie Wilson.
Yeah, we're competitive, right? We play in the sports landscape a lot. So not only tied with her for the number of appearances, but now I'm going to go for being way ahead of her in the number of listens.
I like it.
Number of listens. Okay. Yeah.
So we encourage anyone that doesn't know who Mark is to go back and find those episodes, because usually on these we'll start out with you talking about who you are, what your role is. But since you've been on her so many times, I'd say just reference back there, and then we can just kind of dive into what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's go.
All right. Well, today we're going to talk about show control and the things that we've got going on with our show control system and all the parts that bring it together and how they fit together and work together. Think you can tell us a little bit about that, Mark?
Yeah, super exciting. For those that aren't aware, Show Control is our overall brand for all of our control systems, and or at least in the interactive space. And we really have two families, and we'll talk about both of those today. One family is our studio family of products. And the other is our live family of products, which is a little bit newer to us and really, really exciting area.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about when I used to be in control systems marketing probably about 6 years ago. I think that's when I worked with you a lot, Mark. It was, you know, when we were first coming out with Show Control, trying to get it out into the market. It was even trying to think about what to call it, right? Show Control. It started out with kind of, you know, the maybe what you're referring to as the studio product family, some things in there. Maybe could you start out with that and just see, you know, how has it grown since that initial market entry?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I like that you think back to when we were first launching Show Control. And a lot of the things that we dreamed of or imagined or really thought was a way out in the future for that product or product set is here today. Very, very cool. So the studio product line really is our display interface, our display control systems. And it's built in building blocks. So that gives us a great ability to flexibly scale and change and piece together the control system that's needed for the display system or even that meets the customer needs. So there's really three primary chunks, maybe four primary pieces that make up a control system in that studio environment. We have the player, and today we use the 8,000 family of players. And within that, there's a whole bunch of different models that fit the correct usage for the customer intent, the user intent. Then there's the processors, and those are today we use a 6,000 series of processors. And again, really scalable up and down from one display to a million displays. And we can just keep adding them in. And then the user interface, that is the Show Control user station, and that has a couple of different software components to it that allow the operator to really do whatever they might imagine with their system, and then of course operate it by playing out using buttons. And then the last piece is the data interfaces, and we have a couple of different ways to do data, and we're really growing in that area and expanding all the time. So those are really the four main categories of control in the studio space. And then there's some other pieces like the Venus Control Suite, which is really what we use for some utility activities, but also for things like runtime logging so that people know proof of play type of activities. And it also is a incredibly powerful scheduling tool.
And I think when we were starting off with Show Control 2, the big thing was even just from an architectural standpoint is saying, you know, it used to be, you know, way back in the day was maybe you had a player or some piece of hardware with the software on it, and it was tied to that. But this, with kind of separating them out, now you can be scalable, like you said. You can have software components that talk to multiple different players, and I think that's come because, you know, there's a lot more displays in live events now. So there's a lot of different ways to control that, different number of operators. And, you know, every control room you go into is pretty much laid out differently and has a different set of operators.
Yeah, the architecture is really designed to give the venue that it's being installed in the right fit for the right use, for the right intent, for the right operator skill sets. We can do things to make that system work very customized for that operator set and what they want to do. Really, it's how does the venue want to do things, and really, how do we fill in gaps or help them fill in gaps in their skill sets? No two sets of production teams are the same. Some have skills that are incredibly talented at some positions, and some have skills that are needing a little lift up in other positions. And it's usually not the same from site to site. So we can configure the system in a way that allows for that, and can help them leverage their strengths and mitigate any weaknesses.
Yeah. So it's whether you have, it still works even if you just have one display, it works fine. And then all the way up to how many different displays. And then another way I've heard of it explained is kind of, even if you have a lot of displays in an area, there may be times where it's not as big of a production. So like you're saying, scalable, you can end up controlling it all from one user interface if you need to. Examples I hear sometimes are, you know, colleges, if they have recruits on and they're just coming by, they need all the displays on, turn on, you know, it's not instant replay, switcher, technical director, all that. So one person can still go in, at least just queue up content to get displays up and running. And then if they need to, then they can do the whole production later on with a whole different crew.
Yeah, and I'll take you one step further, Matt. Okay. You can actually do a lot of it remotely. In the instances, which happens frequently, of production crew finally has a day off, right, after however many games in a row.
Not in the fall.
And they're right, and they're at home. And but you know, we had the venue or the team or what have you has the opportunity to impress a donor or sponsor or somebody, and they want a graphic loaded up and on the display very quickly. In many cases, we can set that up so that's done remotely and easily, and these operators don't have to take too much time out of their very valuable at-home time.
Yeah, because you can do that from a phone or a tablet, right? Because I think I've seen, too, where a control system isn't in, you know, you can't see the displays from there. So even when you're testing out content, you may want to walk out into the bowl and still be able to trigger content to play and check it out.
Yeah, certainly if that's a feature of value, we can configure a system that allows for that.
Okay, and we've been talking the studio product family. That's kind of maybe what we'd think of naturally used for live events that we've been producing in the past and still do today. Can you tell us more about the live product family that we've kind of not switched over to, but more introduced into our control systems?
Yeah, the live family is really awesome. This is typically these are the devices that are more in the broadcast space. They are could be used as sources into a switcher and those types of activities. We currently have three products in that live space. We have the Live Clips that is really a pretty cool box. It's a made for broadcast clip server. And a really fun part about it is it's built on some of the technology from our Show Control studio products. So it's really, really familiar for Show Control operators. But also it's intuitive and easy for those who've never used Show Control as well. It's a really cool little box. You would purchase it. We would send it out. It's got all the software loaded in it to do everything you might imagine a clip server could do. And away we go. We've been fortunate already to have some decent, some really good actually market penetration. The device is being used at most of the major professional sports in the United States, as well as a number of major universities and conferences. So we're really excited about that product.
Can we pause there for a second? Can we go into some examples of what that's actually doing for people or what they can do with it?
Yeah, Live Clips, again, it's a broadcast quality clip server.
Right.
So it allows you to take in your open videos, your commercials, your features, those types of elements, and play those back with that high quality video, high quality audio, with the ability to adjust those things, play it back out over a standard video source, and formats that are really natural for switchers and other broadcast systems. And then you can do all kinds of amazing things with it, simply because you have this natural integration to Daktronic systems. So that means you can put it into an automated mode and control it from any show control station, or you could do a reverse control and take over all displays. If you were to, say, play your open video, you could trigger all your displays. And even if it's a venue that doesn't have any other Daktronics gear, this would be the only piece that they might have. We have the ability to communicate to third-party pieces through that device as well. So it's these moments of exclusivity, or the ability to sync sources and sync content, all of that's built right in.
So, Mark, when you're saying broadcast ready, then, so, you know, we typically, you know, do play in the LED world in these stadiums, but when you're saying broadcast, what do you mean? I mean, that could be streaming online, maybe LCDs around the venue. Like, what do you mean? Like, what could broadcast be used for?
Yeah, all of those things. The device actually has a wizard in there for you to select what your format, output format, would like to be. So we have some sites that considered and want to use their Live Clips in their control room for their main video display, let's say. But then on non-game days, bring it down to another venue and use it as part of their webcasting. Just simply change the format output, or they can bring it down to their club level and play it out to a video wall as a video source into the video wall, or play it out to LCDs, or even broadcast right into a broadcast truck. The clip server has that capability. It's at that level.
When we're talking, I'm not sure if this fits into this. Is this where we get into, you know, data and graphic overlay on top of live video, or is that in the same realm, or am I off?
That's a great segue, Matt, into the other.
You hear that, Justin?
Unplanned. Unplanned segue.
Into the other two devices we have in our live family today. One's called the Live Book, and the other's called the Live Server. These are CG devices, character generators. And these are part of the portfolio that we brought in when we brought in AJT systems into the Daktronics family. The Live Book, as it may sound, is a laptop-based CG, and the Live Server is a rack-mounted CG. There's three different models of the Live Book, and there's one model of the Live Server, and all kinds of other things you can purchase. But these are character generators that are really, really powerful. They include software called Sport Apps, that allow you to control and dynamically change content on the fly as you would need, and can be specific to each sport that you would have a sport app for. And then they also have this editing and playback software and render engine called Kamino. And that allows the editor, the operator, to edit things and create their own 3D environment for moving graphics and, again, broadcast quality character generation. So that's the live video. You're watching a game and the score bug comes up and you see a score and it changes and it flips and it spins and it flashes and information slides in and out and up and down, round and round. All of that comes from a character generator, and the live book and live server are capable of generating all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, I remember a little bit of that from when we had Yanni and Joneel on the podcast. They talked specifically about that live book in depth and what that was capable of. So all this broadcast live stuff that we've got on that side of the family, that's really just helping our customers, what would you say, step up their production level to more broadcast-like, more similar to what fans are getting at home, and kind of helps bring that that level up of their production.
Yeah, that's right. And it's maybe important that we note, guys, that more and more and more production teams for that we would think of as in venue production people. That in venue production is becoming a smaller percentage of their job every day. Although it's a big deal and it's really, really important, they are being tasked with producing webcast, simulcast, linear television, even. And really, they need the tools to create these compelling broadcast level shows, both for their in venue shows and for their other things that are going on in their organization. So they need all of these tools.
Yeah, definitely. There's, like Justin was saying too, there's the expectation level of what you're going to get when you're at a stadium or arena now has definitely gone up because of broadcast type stuff that's done at home. So is it fair to say these areas in these products in the live product family, Mark, are we talking mainly then about the main video board and streaming and all that and not so much ribbons? That's kind of where this I'm trying to think of.
Yeah,
aspect ratios.
Well, yeah, aspect ratios, but like this is their wheelhouse. That's what I meant to say, wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's what they're designed for, right? They're designed for the 16:9 aspect ratios, right? Surely we could leverage some of the technology and do leverage some of the technology into other places like our in our studio family. But the live broadcast or the live family really is focused on that 16:9 television shape for use on a main video display or again a webcast or a broadcast or those types of distribution methods.
Yeah, it's all about the versatility and letting them cater to whatever their needs are. Putting all these tools together lets them hit any one of those markets or niches that they're specifically trying to send that video signal or whatever, what be it to, what kind of display it's having there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And these guys, again, are responsible for all of these in a lot of cases in one department, including, you know, their own version of this podcast and other social media activity. It's interesting. I had opportunity yesterday to have lunch with someone who's responsible for a production, and he looked at me and said, "Man, we're doing presentations for management, the team management, for them to use at various activities. We need these tools. We need these broadcast level tools to do all kinds of things because their image, their brand, is so entwined" with the visual aspects of their brand, of their team or their school.
Yeah. So there's one aspect of it that is giving the fans what they expect in the lines of television versus in venue blurring a little bit and they expect everything the same, but there's also the other aspect of needing that top level production for multiple different reasons, not just that live event where fans are in the stands, but also, like you said, for the management and for every other kind of event that they've got going on.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, good dropping, Justin. So, Mark, this
thank you, Matthew.
This the concept, right, of, you know, overlaying graphics on the live video or clip playback, these types of things. I wouldn't say they're new, but is there something that we've kind of taken as a different approach? You know, this stuff has been going on for, I don't know, years, but like what kind of customer problems does this new live product family help solve?
Well, it's interesting, Matt. When we talk about layering or dropping on things on top of video, we've been doing that for 15 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that functionality doesn't just live in the live family of products. It lives in all of our products. And we continue to hone it and improve it and do all kinds of great things. We're able to layer out of even our studio product at such a high quality level that and I encourage listeners to go and find some of the videos on our website that show Fuzzy Man.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a character that has like really fine fur, and it shows how quality the layering is, that there's no artifacting and those kinds of things. And again, it's these little things. When we talk about a great production, a truly great production, whether it's in venue, on television, or what have you, there's no one magic bullet that makes a great production. It's a accumulation of small things that that give that view of true professionalism.
Yeah, and we'll make sure and put a link in the show notes to kind of to show what you're talking about, Mark, that Fuzzy Man video. And then, so I would say, you know, the, like we're talking about, this has been going on, but it's really intricate now. Is it maybe just that things are easier to do now than they used to be, or like user friendliness is a lot more important now? You don't need to know, I wouldn't say as much. You still need a good amount of knowledge, but it's compared to what you needed to know in order to run a control system 6 years ago versus how much you need to know versus, you know, new software interfaces today is a lot different. Is that right?
Yeah, certainly there's a knowledge component to what we're talking about here, but really it's the ease and the number of places that you can provide this type of layering and overlay activity, right? We just talked about our studio product, our 8,000 player base product. We talked about live clips. We've talked about a live book and a live server. We talked about four different sort of products, and all of them have the capability of doing some form of overlay over video with high fidelity and low artifacting, all of them. So once upon a time, there were just a couple of things out there. So you had to purchase specific devices to do that type of activity and had to have specific knowledge of how to make the device do that activity. Today, that's much more available.
And is it safe to say that people are desiring that to make their presentation just that much more dynamic, that much more appealing to viewers?
Yeah, everything is, again, about the that accumulation of small things that lead to that really, truly professional and dynamic show. It's all of these things combined that give you that feel.
Yeah, and I got to imagine it's the whole level now, right? Like it would probably, we talk a lot about professional sports in colleges, but it can be colleges at different levels, different levels of sports within colleges. But I mean, we make stuff all the way down to the high school level. Like there's almost this expectation is starting to be no matter where you're at. So you mentioned there used to be a specific set of products to do this. Mm-hmm. You had to have a specific skill set to do that. And there's probably a specific price to that. So like when you start thinking about usability and use, like you can start opening it up to other markets now that can use that, right?
Right. Different applications.
Yeah, there's absolutely an affordability component as well, as you just touched on that. These devices, once upon a time, there were so few of them that could do this capability and do it well, that the price was quite high. And now at least our products are very, very reasonable. And so that opens up this capability to all kinds of people and organizations and groups. You know, you mentioned all the way down to high school. I would tell you that it's not long, if not already, that middle schools are going to be in the game. And
jeez.
Parks and recreation venues and such, you know, they're all looking at this space. And even other things, other places where activity and engagement with an audience, anywhere you want to engage an audience, for some specified period of time, you can have an event. And that could mean that you could have a production and could need some of these products or all of these products, depending on what that event is.
Yeah, you just mentioned it could go anywhere, really. And a lot of the thought might be the bigger displays in the bowl, but it could also be even those smaller displays outside in the concourses. You mentioned different uses and different events, but it could be even possibly on mimicking the same production for an LCD screen in concourses and things like that. And you can get that presentation throughout an entire venue too.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it. Anything you can imagine these days can be done. Virtually anything you can imagine can be done in virtually any space that you and it's again, it's wherever you wish to engage a group of people, an audience, for some specified period of time. Whatever that means, then we can find the right devices to help you deliver that message that is beneficial.
Not to get too deep here, but it's, you know, you think the overall, then what this can do, you mentioned, you know, pretty soon you're going to see in middle schools, there's this, as students probably learn to help do this, whether students do someplace, maybe parents or athletic directors, but the more people they get used to this kind of a broadcast production early on in life, and then make their way all the way up through high school, college, professional sports. Like, there's got to be something to say about the overall quality of a broadcast production going up because now more people are exposed to it at a younger age, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The fastest growing, in my mind, the fastest growing part of the sports and entertainment industry is the production side. because there's so many distribution channels that teams and organizations and schools are being asked to engage in, that they have a need for people who can do this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely very regionalized. So, I mean, I even think about where I came from for college, right? Like Northern State, small mm-hmm. D2 school in Northern South Dakota. But when they have basketball, football games, there's this, I can find they're streaming these games live online where even, I mean, I graduated a long time ago. I don't need to go into depth of how many years, but it,
but please
that,
do.
That hasn't been possible. Right away when I graduated, that wasn't a thing. So there's this whole, like you're saying, Mark, someone's doing that now. They didn't do that when I was there. Right. So there, all of a sudden there's a whole other area that handles that. And I know they just got new video boards and everything too, so it probably ties into that. But now you can follow them wherever you go. So like I pay attention to more of their sports now than I ever have because of something like this.
Yeah, this is as true a statement as you're going to hear, that the video production in sport has proliferated at an incredible rate. Nearly every Division I school does some production at some venue. I may even argue every one of them. Mm-hmm. There are 1,100 NCAA basketball playing schools between the three divisions.
Yep. Yep.
I would bet you that at least 75% of them do some production of some sort, whether it's just a webcast with a couple of, you know, like a couple of cameras and some small switch, or it's a full-blown multi-shoot, no, multi-camera production for both in venue and out of venue. That's a lot, right? And that doesn't count NAIA, which has a whole bunch of more, and high schools, which there's thousands of.
Oh yeah.
The proliferation is incredible.
Even in
somebody's, like you said, somebody's doing that work at every one of those places, and some places multiple somebody.
Right. And it's even in minor league sports and things like that. I know we had a small minor league hockey team in Brookings for a while, and they would do a telecast or whatever that they would stream on online, and people could watch wherever they were, and other teams in their division were doing the same thing so that people could follow along. Like you said, somebody's making that broadcast, so to speak, available for them wherever they are.
If there's an event and nobody's broadcasting, did it happen?
I always feel like it starts out bare bones, right? You have to be able to do it, prove it, that you can get the whole thing to happen, you get comfortable with it, and then once you get comfortable with it, then you start to look for ways to increase your production. Do I start adding game bugs, or do I start adding advertisement bumpers and stuff like that?
How do you make it better? Yeah. And that's where the live product family from Daktronics comes in, right?
That was very nice, Justin.
Yeah, see what I did there? I brought it back.
I see what you did. Earlier you said no truer statement is going to be said. I was hoping you were mentioning what I said, Mark, so then I could rub it into Justin, because I think it was better than whatever
he said. You were close enough, Matt, that we can call it that.
Yes, write it down, Justin. Show notes.
We need a board in here. We'll put points and start seeing who's
ahead.
2 points
today for Matt.
Thanks, Mark.
2 points.
Sorry, Justin. You've got some, although you had a nice segue earlier, so we'll give you one. You have some catching up to do.
It's probably somewhat cheating because I do have a background in control systems, but anyway.
Yeah, that's why Matt's been all over the mic with the questions, and he's been kind of on point, so I can't even complain.
Justin mentioned bringing it all back around, and maybe that, you know, that's a good way. He didn't come up with that idea, but I mean, bringing it all back around is a good idea right now. We've talked a lot about the studio product family, the live product family, and how it's all under this, you know, show control umbrella. And I'm just wondering, Mark, if you could help, I don't say put a bow on it, but like, how does this all work together? We've talked about a lot of different features for a lot of different markets and customers and stuff. So how does it all tie together?
Yeah, that's a great question. And really it's a pretty simple answer. Whatever the desired use is, whatever the need is, because everybody has different needs and different desires, we can pull the right components together to deliver it.
Dang it, that was a good bow. I was hoping it was longer. Do you?
it's like a puzzle. Each one of these is a puzzle piece, and depending on the customer and depending on what they need, you grab a couple pieces and you fit them together, and it works for that customer.
Maybe it's like the importance of it all, you know, of it all coming from one company, because you know, there's a lot of different products. And there's a lot of probably other companies that make some of these products in different places. So, like, what's the benefit of having that one-stop shop when it comes to all this?
Yeah, so there's a familiarity with the systems, familiarity with the people and the service processes. That's a really big deal, right, for a operator, especially in these places like you were talking about at Northern State. If they have one person that's doing events at every sport, right? Or maybe they have two people, but usually they decide like that they have one person who's going to be responsible for all of it. If they need help or need ideas or want to add to the show, man, that's a lot to keep track of. If there's a lot of different organizations for them to reach out to, if they have one organization like Daktronics to reach out to, they can not only get benefit from having that trusted partner, but they can benefit from our broad knowledge. We're fortunate enough to have a lot of customers, a lot of partners around the country and really around the world.
Yeah. So we give them one number to call. So if they're interested in learning more about this show control system, they could call that number and probably get Mark on the phone and you would tell them all about it.
Yeah. We're going to put your personal cell phone number out there, Mark.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, wow.
I love talking to people. That's no problem. They should all be aware that I'll probably hand there to be very polite and then say, well, I'll have somebody call you.
So do you have a burner phone? Is that what you're going to give us the number for?
I don't, but now I'm going to need to put an IT request in.
There you go.
Approved. Oh, Mark, thank you for coming on again for the third time to talk to us and join us on the podcast and tell us about the details of Daktronics show control system with the studio and the live product and how they work together.
Yeah, no worries. Maybe number four, we'll talk about some of our professional services.
Oh, there you go. You're always welcome on the podcast, Mark. We'll always talk to you.
Oh, do I get the host if one of you guys gets sick? That'd be fun.
whoa.
Yeah, we'll talk to our executive producer about that one.
Yeah, we'll have a discussion, meet offline about that.
All right, guys, have a great day. Thank you for having me.
All right. Yep, thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.